بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this week's edition of Living the Legacy. We continue with our current series on valuing ourselves. This week we'll be exploring what it means to accept or to embrace the concept of self-acceptance. But that comes up in the second half of the hour. In our first segment, we go back to some inspiration, some things to reflect on, inshallah. Now, little do we realize that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has adored us with is not just for our sake. Your gifts are not only for you, but for those around you as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplifted you not because you are smarter or most hardworking or cautious than others. Gifts are plainly responsibilities. If you are blessed, then you must cater to those around you. If you are knowledgeable, be a source of light to those in darkness. Be a means for others to be guided. Keeping mute when things go awry is an insult to the gift you are honored with. If you are prosperous, people around you must be lifted. Surely you can't do it all, but you must let them feel the impact. A simple ordinance of kindness will not kill you. If you are good with words, motivate others, encourage them, give them hope. Let them know that Allah is sufficient for them. Periodically, we must ask ourselves, how much influence have we been able to formulate on those around us from the blessings that Allah has given us? We must realize that with great gifts come great obligations. Your gift should only prepare you to be humble in your service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an honor to serve Allah from what He gives you, and you are fulfilled when those around you benefit from the sweetness of your blessings. So my question to you this morning is, how much impact have you made to those around you? And that's the question to think about, to reflect upon. You know, very often we take our gifts for granted, but how are you using that to help yourself and to help others? And that's something we all need to reflect on from time to time. Because when we look into our lives, we often take those gifts for granted. And so we don't take that moment to reflect and to check in, ask ourselves, how am I using this gift? Am I using it for the pleasure of Allah? Am I using it to get closer to Allah? Or is my gift taking me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that's something we all need to reflect upon. The second reminder for today is encouraging you and I to look for the extraordinary in the ordinary. I've heard a story about two workers who were approached by a reporter. The reporter asked the first worker, "What are you doing?" His response was to complain that he was virtually a slave, an underpaid bricklayer who spent his days wasting his time placing bricks on top of one another. The reporter asked the second worker the same question. His response, however, was quite different. "I'm the luckiest person in the world," he said. "I get to be a part of important and beautiful pieces of architecture. I help turn simple pieces of brick into exquisite masterpieces." And they were both right. The truth is, we see in life what we want to see. If you search for ugliness, you'll find plenty of it. If you want to find fault with other people, your career, or the world in general, you'll certainly be able to do so. But the opposite is also true. If you look for the extraordinary in the ordinary, you can train yourself to see it. The bricklayer sees buildings within pieces of brick. The question is, can you? Can you see the extraordinary synchronicity that exists in our world? Can you see the perfection of the universe in action? Can you see the extraordinary beauty of nature, the incredible miracle of human life? It is all a matter of intention. There is so much to be grateful for, so much to be in awe about. Life is precious, and it is extraordinary. So put your attention on this fact, and little ordinary things will take a whole new look on life itself. And that is so important for us all to reflect on and to realize that this really is what life is all about. It's about looking, you know, looking at the basic, what we think is basic and ordinary, and recognizing that everything is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and help us to see the reality of this, and may we not take for granted the things that we have been blessed with. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. You know, we go through life so, you know, in such a hurry that we don't take the moment and the time to look at the beauty that surrounds us, to look at the beauty that's within us and that surrounds us at every given moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to see this, that amongst the extraordinary things we have is the gift of dua. Right? We all need something. We are all searching, seeking. We all need some changes in our life. We all are in need of help, relief, healing. We all need guidance about a decision we need to make. We all feel something is missing. We may feel sad and want to feel better. And dua really is that beautiful, extraordinary gift. It is an inseparable part of taking action and change in any matter. So let us remember to make dua. Let us pour our hearts out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us ask from Him. And let us never feel that we can do everything on our own, that we are strong enough, or that we are brave or resilient enough to carry the worries of our world on our head. But instead, let us focus, inshallah, on what it is that we can do. Let us focus on what we can do, but know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all in control, all in power, and that nothing is possible and that nothing can be achieved except by the help and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. May Allah guide us to remember and to recognize, to realize that we are but the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in every moment, in every instant, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, His guidance, and we need the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so dua should always be our first and our last resort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to realize this. Ameen. The dua I want to share with you for today is a dua for shifa, a dua for the cure of sickness. And it is one that used to be made by Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayh very often. So I will share that with you. Oh Allah, we are spiritually sick and we are physically sick. Oh Allah, so many of our brothers and sisters and our parents are sick and ailing. They are in hospitals, some are in nursing homes and old age homes. Oh Allah, grant shifa to those who are sick and ailing. O my beloved Allah, shifa is in your hand. O Allah, we know that there is effect in dua and there is effect in medication, but O Allah, shifa is in your hands. O Allah, we know that sometimes sickness is a rahmah and a blessing in a disguised form, but we are extremely weak. O Allah, even if such sickness is a rahmah, O Allah, change it to the rahmah of good health. But O Allah, we know that most of our sicknesses, depressions, anxieties are because of our sins. O Allah, grant us shifa from all sicknesses and ailments, physical and spiritual. O Allah, bless us with physical health and spiritual health. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. After the break, we're going to be speaking to our guest for today. Each week, we interview an expert in the field of personal development and growth who helps us understand more and helps us build this foundation of what it means to value ourselves. Today, we are in part 5 of our series, and our topic for today is all about self-acceptance. So, coming up after the break, we speak to our guest today who will be sharing with us more on what self-acceptance really means, why some people find it more difficult to accept themselves than others, and how is the idea of not judging oneself linked to self-acceptance. We'll also be asking our guest today, author, life coach, and counselor, Nadira Chupa, how should a Muslim develop a healthy attitude towards correcting their faults or failings, and find out what advice she has for parents whose youth are struggling with self-acceptance. More after the break. Stay with us. Welcome to the second segment of this hour. And we're speaking today to author of Ink of Inspiration, authority life coach and counselor, radio presenter of Ink of Inspiration on Radio Al Ansar. She is also an inspirational speaker and a coach and counselor for kids. She's the winner of the Women of Wonder Award. Today we speak to Sister Nadira Chupa, and we welcome her to the airwaves of Radio Islam. Our topic for today in our Value Yourself series is self-acceptance. And what we've done is spoken to her and asked for her feedback, her opinion, her perspective on a number of questions when it comes to self-acceptance. I think there's a lot of this gray area and people wonder, what does it mean to accept myself? And we're going to explore that in today's interview. Our first question to Sister Nadira is, how would you define self-acceptance?
To me, it's about loving yourself unconditionally, also knowing that we are all imperfect. So in many ways, loving ourselves as well as being kind and patient with who we are is self-acceptance. Self-acceptance also means healing from the emotional baggage we carry daily. It is about basically sitting with that uncomfortable feelings and understanding how and why they exist. Basically acknowledging your wounds so that you may heal. And you may heal from your heart, from your mind, from your soul.
Moving on to our second question, why do some people find it more difficult to accept themselves than others?
In a picture-perfect world ruled by, social media, we have so many sisters who spend a lifetime loving and accepting others but not themselves, which now...
And how is the idea of not judging oneself linked to self-acceptance?
Brings us to self-acceptance. Self-acceptance, again and again and again, it will come up as actually sitting with your own thoughts and being mindful of it and acknowledging it and acknowledging also the darkness that comes with the light. So again, yes, we all have imperfections. It's embracing your imperfections perfectly that actually results in self-acceptance.
When it comes to being Muslim and having our identity as an Islamic lifestyle and having all our solutions, our guidelines within the Quran and Sunnah, how should a Muslim develop a healthy attitude towards correcting their faults or their failings?
We are our own worst critic. It is the inner voice that speaks to us in our mind, which is programmed from a very young age. Example, if you tell a 5-year-old child you are a naughty child, that child now, he or she will grow up with that inner voice telling them that, you are naughty. As they become adults, that critic becomes more louder inside, which is in their minds, which is their own voice. And this inner voice criticizes us daily. So we are harsh on ourselves. We are absolutely harsh on ourselves because we are our own worst enemy within ourselves. So it's easy to be kind to others, but not ourselves. It's easy to accept others, again, accept them with the imperfections, but not our own thoughts, not our own feelings. That's because we are, again, sabotaging our own well-being, meaning that if we feel that if we accept ourselves just the way we are, what's going to happen then are we going to now find that, you know what, we have accepted and we have acknowledged that we are also imperfect? So again, we find it very difficult to accept ourselves rather than accepting others.
Jazakumullah khair, and that was Sister Nadira Chipa. We've been speaking to her today about self-acceptance. Wonderful to have the author on the program with us today and understanding more about what we can do to work on accepting ourselves, how important that is in the process of valuing ourselves. Join us after the break as we continue with our topic and we discover more in today's program as we look at loving ourselves and how that is connected to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More after the break. Stay with us. Welcome to this third and the last segment of this hour. And on the program today, before the break, we spoke to Sister Nadira Chupa and discussed with her more about self-acceptance and what does self-acceptance mean in valuing ourselves. In the first segment of the hour was our inspiration and upliftment, and we shared that with you in how our perspectives in life add to the quality of our life or diminish the quality of our lives. So our perspectives, how we see things, our mindset is so important to keep us healthy and strong mentally and emotionally too. Now, I can't tell you the number of times I've heard young girls look in the mirror and say, I wish my nose wasn't so round. I wish I had bigger eyes. I wish, I wish, I wish. And so many people spend their years of their life into their adult years, you know, suffering from low self-esteem. But why is it that more and more young Muslim women are suffering from low self-esteem today? It's literally like an epidemic that is consuming women from all over the world. And I use the word suffer because low self-esteem is no less than a disease that makes a person writhe in agony, right, over the mere existence of self. From nose jobs to Botox, there's no end to what women will do today to feel better about their appearance, to like what they see when they look in the mirror, to feel confident about their mere existence as they walk among people. And body image is only one of the many reasons why people fall prey to low self-esteem. So why do Muslims suffer from low self-esteem? Now, I won't go into too much of detail with the causes because we have covered that already. But my main goal is to help Muslim women conquer their self-esteem, no matter what the cause. So with that said, let's go over the most common causes of low self-esteem. Some are general causes and some may be more specific to Muslim communities. So it will help us to pinpoint exactly why our self-esteem is suffering so that we can treat it, inshallah. So without much further ado, let's work to how we can raise our self-esteem. Now, some of the causes of low self-esteem can be negative peers or negligent parents. When we start with the external causes, one of the biggest reasons for low self-esteem is with our upbringing. The way we've been brought up by guardians, parents, caregivers plays a major role in the formation of our personalities. We trust and we believe that everyone did the best they could with the resources they had. So some of the main reasons why and how our self-esteem can be lowered is a lack of proper attention or lack of proper care in early childhood, teenage years. So if you find that a child is made to feel unwanted or unloved, these feelings later transition into low self-esteem and poor confidence. Another cause of low self-esteem is constant comparison between siblings. So this could include comparison of physical features, appearance, but also skills, talents, intellect, hobbies, basically personalities. Another is parental pressure in studies and choice of career. So some parents tend to control their children's major life decisions, such as career choices. Moreover, they tend to put a lot of pressure on their children to excel in their studies. And this if it's not balanced, can seriously damage the self-esteem. And if they don't live up to that expectation, then of course that makes it really difficult for them to have a healthy dose of self-esteem. Now, children naturally rely on their parents' approval of everything they do, especially in their growing years. Another aspect that can lead to the low self-esteem is also negligent attitude, right? So that's something we have to look at, the lack of compliments. So there needs to be this balance where we do compliment, where we do give acknowledgements, yes, but at the same time, let's not go to the other extreme where we don't give any compliments at all. That can also lead to low self-esteem. Another is body image. So being very aware of ourselves. And that comes to bringing it to a very practical level. If we are comparing ourselves to the models that are photoshopped and that are airbrushed, then naturally it's going to be that we're trying to achieve the impossible, right? The perfect. And the perfect does not exist in this world. So it's really important that we're aware of that and that we don't let that get the better of us, because it's easy to fall into that and say, well, that's exactly who I need to be, and that's exactly how I need to be looking, when that is not a reality for anyone. So just being aware of some of these factors to begin with, and it's never too late for any of us to strive on changing and being better. Now, we've said before that self-esteem is defined as how much you like yourself, quite literally. It's important because healthy levels of self-esteem lead to greater happiness, more positive actions, more positive outcomes and outlooks in our life. So knowing that we're aware of what can cause low self-esteem, what's really important if you're someone who experiences low self-esteem or a loved one does, is being kind to ourselves. And that's something that Sister Nadira brought up in the interview, right? To be kind to ourselves. Do you treat yourself like you are your own best friend? Would you ever show your best friend disrespect or unkindness? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So this hadith assumes that we love ourselves. But do we really? Islam teaches us to show kindness, patience, compassion, forgiveness to other people. Right? Surah 4, ayah 36. Surah 2, verse ayah 109. Don't you think that we should show the same to ourselves? And the Quran describes one man as being unjust to himself. Surah Al-Kahf, the story of the garden, ayah 35. And he entered his garden while he was unjust to himself. This means that we can be unfair to ourselves. So become aware of the negative ways that you speak to yourself and replace them with positive self-talk. Take care of yourself. Keep yourself neat, presentable. Give yourself adequate, healthy food and sleep. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a man with unkempt hair and remarked, does he have nothing with which to comb his hair? Upon seeing another man with dirty clothes, he remarked, can he not find anything with which to wash his clothes? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once asked a Sahabi, is it true that you fast all day and stand in prayer all night? The companion replied that the report was true. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not do that. Observe the fast sometimes and also leave it at other times. Stand up for prayer at night and also sleep at night. Your body has a right over you. Your eyes have a right over you and your wife has a right over you. Another thing that we can do to improve our self-esteem or that of those around us is to appreciate our positive qualities. Show thankfulness, and you can do this by writing two lists, one of your strengths and the other of your achievements. So find a good friend who can help you and read these lists every day. Now, after some form of rejection, write down your positive traits. For example, you may have applied for a job but were rejected. Write reasons why you are a good friend or a good spouse. Right? If you face career rejection, write down reasons why you are a good employee And surround yourself with people who appreciate you. Be thankful for what you have, for who you are. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ibrahim, Surah 14, Ayah 7, if you give thanks, I will give you more. Now the next is really profound, and that is to take responsibility for your life. Taking responsibility for your life increases your self-respect and also your belief that you can achieve goals with the help of Allah. Self-esteem is so powerful, such an important part of our lives, because when we don't take responsibility for our lives, it breeds a victim mentality. We feel like victims of life, and we feel powerless. So a victim mentality causes low self-esteem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ar-Ra'd that surely Allah does not change the condition in which a people are in until they change that which is in themselves. And most importantly is to accept yourself. And that's the starting point of our, that was the starting point of our interview with Sister Nadira, right? Accepting yourself, flaws and all, errors and all. As human beings, we were never meant to be perfect. Accepting yourself fully means that you love yourself unconditionally, that you realize that you have weaknesses as well as strengths, and that is okay. After all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves for us to ask His forgiveness for our sins and our weaknesses. In a hadith mentioning that Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all the sons of Adam are sinners, but the best of sinners are those who repent often. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who repent often and sincerely. And may we all on this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gain nearness to Him. May we on this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strive to inshallah gain nearness to Him. May Allah make it easy upon all of us and help us wherever we are in our journey. Help us to get closer to Him. Help us to correct our ways. Help us to think more positively, behave more positively, and speak more positively. Ameen. That brings us to the close of this week's edition of Living the Legacy. Do join us next week as we continue, inshallah. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.